You're listening to the John DePietro Show. I have to admit, I am intrigued by anyone in this day and age that still tries a bank robbery, simply because the amount of security measures that are in place, it's very, very difficult. So one in custody attempted robbery outside of a Swansea bank, I believe Channel 12. Listen to this. They have some of the details. And there was some thought certainly put into this. They have footage of where this went. I want you to listen to this.
12 News reporter Alex Torres Perez joins us now live from Swansea, where all this started this afternoon. Alex?
Mike and Shannon, in the last half hour, I was actually able to speak to one of the witnesses of this attempted robbery. She did not want to go on camera, but she told me she saw something and then wanted to help out the man who was the suspects were trying to rob. Now, thankfully, they were all able to make it out okay. And though the crime scenes have since cleared, this investigation is far from over.
A manhunt underway after Swansea police say two men tried to rob a person trying to use the drop box at Bay Coast Bank off Swansea Mall Drive. That driver resisting, one of their passenger car windows even smashed out. It's still unclear if the suspects were able to take anything, but police say they used a U-Haul for their getaway vehicle. It didn't go far, though, after it was found a half mile away on Reed Street, unrecognizable after it was burned. Investigators even finding the van's doors on the roadside. State police canines were brought in as they try to figure out what caused the flames. The suspects were able to escape the fiery van after police say they took a gray Jeep, which was later found across state lines on 195 in Rhode Island. However, only one person was inside. A viewer video showing officers with their guns drawn approaching the Jeep. The police department's public relations company confirming it was the suspect. 12 News was there as officers took him into custody. His charges are still unclear. Swansea police and state investigators are now looking through the details of each scene, trying to get answers and trying to figure out where that second suspect may be.
And we have not received any other updates on this investigation since that initial information update that we received this afternoon. We'll, of course, keep you updated as we learn more details both on air and online at WPRI.com. Reporting live in Swansea, Alex Torres Perez, 12 News.
You know, that when you think about it, I mean, obviously they were unsuccessful and the courier filed back. But look at the, you know, they torched the U-Haul. They had the switch car, the Jeep set up for that. They go to rob a courier. This is right midday, and the person, you know, smashed out the window and then fires at them. So one is still on the loose, and that remains to be seen exactly when they may be able to get that person in custody. So you wonder if, were they watching the movie Heat or The Town? One in custody atop a robbery outside of a Swansea bank. I'm not sure enough about that. Now, you also had the situation, a driver ran off the road, car crashes down a Woonsocket embankment. This happened early this morning, Cass Park, not far from Landmark. Officers determined the car lost control, hit a curb, and the driver overcorrected, hitting a utility pole and a wooden fence. Driver ran off, left the car behind. They've been unable to get in touch with the car's registered owner. Inside the car, what did police find? A wallet, credit cards, multiple different names, and Rhode Island Department of Corrections discharge ID. Sounds like someone just got out of the big house. While the driver's yet to be officially identified, a violation was issued for duty to stop after causing damage to a highway. And when you can see the way it went down the embankment, someone thought, okay, the best solution thing to do here is then just get out and make a break for it, which doesn't seem to make sense at all. So now, let's also go to the Woonsocket story. They want to cut the official salary of some of the elected officials. City Council want to cut the salary. City Planning Development by $11,000. Trying to push through that highly controversial $1.1 million land deal. And it did embarrass the city. So let's pick up. This is the story from Channel 12.
The city's planning and development director criticizing him for pushing through a controversial land deal. They say embarrassed the city. The ordinance would reduce Michael DeBroyce's salary by $11,000. Council members say the cut is warranted because he helped execute the land deal between former Mayor Lisa Baldelli Hunt and her former boss, Raymond Bork, without getting approval through the council. Target 12 was first to reveal the deal. Dr. Voice did not immediately respond to a request for comment.
You know, that Channel 12 piece, that really seemingly spelled the end for the mayor, right? I mean, after that came out, they then did a series of stories, especially saying she really didn't know the developer, when that certainly was not the case and not true. But I think more people are realizing there needs to be better accountability for some of the public officials, whether it's the situation with the bridge or whether it's any of these decisions that are being made locally. I err on those that say we need more accountability from some of the people that are in positions of authority. And maybe that would make people think twice before they agree in some of their actions. Clearly, we need some more accountability with the situation with the bridge. I mean, that is ludicrous. There's no end in sight. And even now, people are saying, what's the latest on this? The latest could be that they may not know what they're going to do with that until sometime next month in March. And then it's a matter of how they're going to unveil it to the public, meaning how are they going to break it to everyone, what is the move. Now, I've heard that the bridge needs to come down. First, here's what I've heard. First, they need to stabilize it. Then they need to come up with a plan on having to build a new one. This easily turned into a 3 to 5 year project. It is, I mean, I think it's disqualifying for Governor McKee. And I also want to be very clear. He's been governor for 3 years. I know a lot of people want to try to blame Gina Raimondo. Governor McKee, he took over in March of 21. 3 years. You break it, you own it. He's responsible. And I can't see anyone giving him another term, 4 years in office, after this. Folks, you're listening to The John DePietro Show. The Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Lunch, dinner, drinks in the lounge, especially this time of year. So much going on. They always have a nice crowd right there. Full bar, large dining area right there in the lounge. Easy to get to, whether it's lunch or dinner. A great meal is waiting for you at the Lodge Pub and Eatery. Think of this, since 1994. That's right, celebrating the big anniversary this year. I'll see you at the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Do you need a good plumber? I found the best plumber, JMB Plumbing. Call them today. All your plumbing needs, 401-743-9153. JMB Plumbing. They've been providing plumbing services for years. Skilled professionals stand behind their work. Guarantee you will be happy. Maybe it's repairing damaged water pipes, repair clogged pipelines, maybe replace a water heater, as well as all your plumbing needs. Call them now. It's JMB Plumbing, 401-743-9153. Nothing throws off your life or your home or your business. When you need plumbing service, you need someone reliable, someone who's professional, someone who'll handle the job and do it right. It's JMB Plumbing. Call them today, 401-743-9153, JMB Plumbing, and look for them on Facebook. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. Fallout continues to grow after the Russian opposition leader. Putin had him killed. His widow accuses the Kremlin now of hiding the body. Martha Raddatz, I think she's excellent. Let's pick up her story.
Forces telling me this morning they are outgunned and outmanned by the Russians, but they will keep fighting this, even as Vladimir Putin has now lost his fiercest critic.
This morning, the Russian government standing firm, refusing to turn over Alexei Navalny's body to his family. Navalny's mother posting a video this morning appealing to Putin to return his body to the family. She has been unable to see it. Navalny's widow, Yulia, claiming Russian authorities are trying to disguise the real cause of death, saying they are cowardly and meanly hiding his body. Yulia accusing Putin of killing her husband. These new images from an anti-Putin news outlet reportedly showing what may be the convoy transferring Navalny's remains from prison, although the video could not be independently verified. Putin's fiercest critic had been facing a decades-long prison sentence for extremism and other charges, which his supporters say were fabricated. His death drawing global condemnation, President Biden directly blaming Vladimir Putin and weighing a response.
We already have sanctions moving and we're considering additional sanctions.
This as Ukrainian forces withdraw from the city of Avdiivka, with Russia claiming its biggest battlefield gain in months. Russian state media showing troops within the destroyed city's limits. One Ukrainian commander saying that they did not have enough manpower or shells to hold off the Russian assault. We went inside a hospital in Dnipro, which has been treating scores of Ukrainian casualties from the months-long battle. American neurosurgeon Dr. Rocco Armonda previously served as a doctor for the U.S. Army in Iraq and Afghanistan, but now he's volunteered here in Ukraine for the second time.
The most severe of penetrating brain injuries, penetrating neck injuries, polytrauma injuries, you know, and they're victims basically of artillery.
Now with crucial U.S. aid halted in Congress, Biden slamming House Republicans, but saying he is willing to meet with Speaker Johnson.
The way they're walking away from the spread of Russia, the way they're walking away from NATO, the way they're walking away from meeting our obligations, it's just shocking.
And soldiers telling me this morning this aid is imperative or even more lives will be lost. Robin?
Listen, Putin's got to go. I can't, but they got to kill him. Look how this is totally out of control. And I think it's even more embarrassing that maybe he was empowered after, you know, the interview with Tucker Carlson. This is absolutely getting insanity. Now, closer to home, Patriots Matthew Slater has announced his retirement. He seemed to be a very beloved member of the Patriots, very valuable person for the franchise. So at some point, I know that has nothing to do with Putin, but at some point we would think that we would have some positive news. But the situation right now with Russia in Ukraine, there is definitely, you can't deny that there is a, without question, there is definitely a Putin, as they describe it, a Putin wing of the Republican Party, and I'm not sure what to make of it. So I want to see, there's a piece, are you upset with our choice of narcissist grandpa versus basement grandpa? Is this on TikTok, I think? Let me hear this.
Got us to basement grandpa versus narcissist grandpa 1.0 and now 2.0. When Trump famously said they're not sending their best, he was actually referring to the pipeline for American politicians.
When NATO sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're not sending you. They're not sending you. They're sending people that have lots of problems, and they're bringing those problems with us. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people.
No one with any great professional success wants to run for higher office these days. Yeah, you become reduced to either being a baby-killing communist pervert or a racist Nazi trying to imprison rape victims.
All right. It's more of a visual. My apologies, folks. It was different. I thought I would try to run it, but there's only so much of this I can listen to. But the heat continues on Putin, though.
Critic, new protests erupting, and Alexei Navalny's widow, she's now speaking out, vowing to carry on her husband's legacy. NBC's chief foreign correspondent Richard Engel is in Ukraine. He's got that story for us. Hey, Richard, good morning.
Good morning, Hoda. And now we are hearing a direct response from Vladimir Putin's spokesman to those comments from Alexei Navalny's widow, specifically her allegation that her late husband was assassinated by the Kremlin. Putin's spokesman called that charge unfounded and, quote, obnoxious.
Accusations are growing this morning about the death in prison last week of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny. President Biden has said President Putin is responsible for Navalny's death and says the U.S. may impose more penalties on Russia. This morning, Navalny's mother urging President Putin to release her son's body for burial. Navalny's widow, Yulia, adding, "We will find out exactly how this crime was carried out." Navalny's allies in the Russian opposition, working to uncover more, are already releasing their own narrative about Russia's actions. A human rights group says Russian intelligence officers visited the prison 2 days before Navalny's death to disconnect cameras and listening devices, and that a medical examiner was instructed to list bruises on Navalny's body as coming after death. The Russian opposition newspaper Novaya Gazeta Europe reports that prisoners were locked in their cells the night before Navalny died, followed by a surprise inspection the next morning. NBC News cannot confirm those allegations, which were attributed to anonymous sources. Across the border, Ukraine's President Zelensky visited the front line and urgently called for more weapons to stop Russia's advance in eastern Ukraine. Much of the east now looks right out of World War II, with Ukrainian villages smashed by Russian artillery and largely abandoned, except for military vehicles and troops. At one of the only schools we found still operating, 10-year-old Daria told us she's hearing more explosions now than before.
Are the Russians getting closer?
When I go outside, I hear the explosions are coming closer. So it means they are coming closer and closer, she says.
You know, this man, the protests, everything, the uprising, something's gotta happen over there in Russia, and we need to help them any way we can. Folks, you're listening to The John DePietro Show. It's My Health, 1099 Menden Road in Cumberland, diagonally across from Davenport Restaurant. Stop in and see Marie, that historic white church. Shop local, inside, all quality products, vitamins, herbal remedies, trusted companies. They understand quality, integrity. It's My Health. It's all about your health. Local products, ice, AE, honey, maple syrup, beef fresh gum. You know, they carry over 250 bulk herbs, teas, and spices that can be purchased by the ounce, plus box herbs and teas, hemp and CBD products, and much more natural skincare products. Stop in and see Marie at It's My Health, 1099 Menden Road in Cumberland. It's all about health for you, for your family. There's vitamins for children, all different types of teas, all different types of spices. Boy, what a difference it'll make. Shop local. Stop it and see the Queen of Health. It's Marie. And It's My Health, 1099 Menden Road in Cumberland, diagonally across from Davenport Restaurant, right in that historic white church. It's all about health. It's all about your health. At It's My Health. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. I like this article. Gen Z are treating employers like bad dates. Listen to this. 93% ghost interviews. 87% have not even shown up for their first day of work. Ghosting isn't just for dating anymore. Now Gen Z are treating their would-be employers like bad dates, not showing up for job interviews or their first day on the job without as much as a phone call. Employment website Indeed surveyed 1,500 businesses, 1,500 working people in the UK, found job ghosting is rife. 75% of workers say they've ignored a prospective employer in the past year. But the youngest generation of workers are by far the worst offenders. 93% of Gen Zers told the global recruitment platform that they flaked out of an interview. Worse still, a staggering 87% managed to charm their way through interviews, secure the job, sign the contract, only to leave the new boss stranded on the very first day. The reason for doing so, according to the survey, makes them feel in charge of their career. But it's having the opposite effect on businesses left high and dry. More than half of businesses surveyed have said that ghosting has made hiring more difficult. Businesses and millennials are at it too. Although Gen Z are the biggest culprits, baby boomers, Gen X, and millennials aren't off the hook. Indeed's data found everyone is guilty of ghosting occasionally. Almost half of those surveyed said they plan on pulling a disappearing act again, with a third deeming it's acceptable to do so before an interview. However, unlike Gen Z, who feels emboldened by blanking bosses, older workers say they instantly regret it. Millennials, for example, are most likely to feel anxious about ghosting, worried that ghosting will negatively impact future opportunities. What's more, while more than half of Gen Zers are repeat offenders, the research found that a candidate's likelihood to ghost again decreases with age. Even businesses are joining in. 1 in 5 workers complain a prospective employer has failed to show up for a phone interview. While 23% have been provided with a verbal offer only to be left hanging. It's why workers today think that ghosting is fair game. More than half agree that since employers ghost job seekers, it's okay to do back. And perhaps surprisingly, over a third of companies agree this sentiment is reasonable. It's come a long way. I hear from small businesses, employers all the time, that people don't show up for interviews. People accept the job, then don't show up. They just change their mind. I mean, the whole thing is just, it's not easy doing business in 2024. Folks, you're listening to The John DePietro Show. All your oil needs, make it Henry Oil. Call Henry Oil today, 401-521-0200. Reliable, affordable fuel oil delivery. Call Henry Oil today. Fuel oil, diesel, gasoline delivery. It's Henry Oil, residential, commercial fuel oil delivery since 1947. They also have budget plans, service contracts, lock and cap pricing. You can depend on Henry Oil. Call them today, 401-521-0200. Serving most of Rhode Island and southeastern Mass. We got a long way to go with winter. Make sure that tank is filled. Call Henry Oil today, 401-521-0200. Henry Oil, a local family-run business since 1947 that you can depend on. For all your oil needs, call Henry Oil today, 401-521-0200. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. Attorney General Peter Noronha, I find him to be very accessible. And Channel 12 has a nice segment. They call it Community Focus. It's short. It's during the 4 o'clock news. But Kim Kalunian, I think it's about a four-minute segment. But one of the people she had on was Attorney General Peter Noronha. And I think if he's going to take the time to do it, which he did, then I want to play some of it. He does talk about the latest with the ILO contract.
Wait times. You took to X just last week and tweeted out a study that looked at federal data tracking ER wait times.
Listen to this.
Rhode Island and Massachusetts were tied for the third highest wait time, a median of about 4 hours. What does this tell you, and how do you fix the problem?
Yeah, what it tells me is that we have a healthcare crisis here. There are certain canaries in the coal mine, if you will, signals of that. I think those ER wait times are one of them. The inability to find a doctor, a primary care physician. If you don't have one right now and you're trying to find one, very, very difficult. If we don't invest in our healthcare system, attract more providers to Rhode Island, we can do that. Part of it is raising our reimbursement rates, meaning raising the pay and raising the capacity of hospitals and their providers to take on new patients. If we don't fix that problem, don't recruit more people here to work in healthcare, we're not gonna solve this crisis, and it's only gonna get worse.
I wanna shift gears to something else I mentioned in the intro here, childhood lead poisoning. People might think it ended decades ago, but hundreds of kids in Rhode Island under the age of 6 are testing positive for elevated lead levels in their blood every single year. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about this bill that the General Assembly approved last year, a lead certification registry for rental properties. This was something your office championed. Where does that stand?
Yeah, it's not where it should be. So we have brought a lot of actions against landlords who haven't cleaned up lead paint, but we could do those cases 100 a year and we wouldn't solve the problem. Mm. We can solve lead poisoning in children. We can eliminate it the way Maryland do if we have this registry. What that registry requires is that anyone who's got a rental property has to get a certification that it's lead free. It's not difficult to do, and frankly, it's not difficult or expensive to clean up lead on your property. What that does, it allows every parent the comfort of knowing when they sign the lease that they don't have to worry about lead poisoning. The General Assembly passed it last year. The problem is it has not been funded. Mm. So we still don't have that registry. And in the governor's budget this year, it is funded, but only in part. So only pre-1978 properties, which doesn't get to all of the problems that we face in rental properties, and it won't come online until next year. Mm-hmm. That means more and more kids this year and part of next year will continue to get lead poisoned. To me, that's not acceptable. We can do it now. We need the entire registry, the way it was passed and envisioned by the General Assembly and signed by this governor last year. Without that, we can't solve lead poisoning in children. And frankly, Rhode Island should really, we can and should do a much better job in that
area. So I imagine you're asking the General Assembly for more money in the speaker's budget.
Yeah, it's not a lot of money. We're talking about short dollars. I mean, $100,000, you know, $200,000. We're not talking about a lot of money in the scheme of things, but think of the lives that we can change and the lives that we can save by doing it.
All eyes have, of course, been on the Washington Bridge, but your office is still busy prosecuting a criminal case that's connected to another massive RIDOT project. Right. We're talking about the 610 connector. Allegations here are that a Massachusetts-based construction firm illegally used thousands of tons of contaminated soil as fill at that site. There was just a recent development in the case. Bring us up to speed.
Yeah, so remember, what we allege in that case is that fill that does not meet our soil standards was brought from Massachusetts and dumped out there and used in the project. And then other fill was moved from the new train station also that shouldn't have been there. What the defendants tried to do was try to get our case dismissed. We won that motion, so our case is going to move forward as we always believed it should. And we're confident when we get this case in front of a jury, the right result will come out for Rhode Islanders.
Any timeline for when that may be resolved? And what does the right result look like in your opinion?
The right result looks like liability for the corporation, liability for the defendant we charged. You know, I wish I could control timing. Mm. You know, the court system in Rhode Island has so many cases, tends to move very slowly, but we're determined to get justice in that case.
I have another timing question for you, but this one might be easier for you to answer. The last time you were here, I asked you for an update on some of the cases that you're still actively investigating, including the ILO investigation. And you said, quote, we're hoping to land that plane by the end of the first quarter of this year. End of the first quarter is rapidly approaching.
Yeah.
Are we going to see the results of this investigation in the coming weeks?
I think so. You know, we have a couple of more interviews to do, frankly, to wrap it up. Some of that timing is controlled by the people we want to interview. Mm. Will they agree to an interview and how long their counsel takes to kind of get them with us and the state police? But I anticipate this being done. Again, I'm hoping for the end of the first quarter.
All right, Rhode Island Attorney General Peter Norona, that's all the time that we have today. Thanks for being here at 4.
Thanks, Kim. Always good to be with you.
All right, that's Channel 12, Kim Clunian. You know, it's interesting about that. Still trying to get interviews with people and their counsel make them available and the state police and... Again, this is the investigation into Governor McKee. This was the contract that immediately was put into motion 3 years ago, March, April of 2021. And it became an investigation, I believe, that fall, September of 21. So do you see how long these things take? I don't understand, frankly, that there are still some people that will not sit down for interviews or their counsel won't allow them. I'm not sure what to make of that. Everyone that was or is involved with this, they're either still working with Governor McKee. They were working with Governor McKee. It's not like they're somewhere on the lam. They're all basically in the general area. I think it's a bad look for the McKee administration that they're still having trouble trying to, you know, sit down with... I don't know what to make of that. I'll take the AG at his word. But that it's going on this long, and I'll come back to Governor McKee. I mean, if there was nothing to it, you would think he would have just said, I want everybody going forward to cooperate, and then we'll just kind of put this to bed. That clearly has not happened. You're listening to the John DePietro Show. Propane Plus. Call them today. Heating and cooling in Rhode Island, 401-885-4209. In Massachusetts, 508-252-3359 for Propane Plus. Three generations you can always depend on Propane Plus for all your heating and cooling. Call them today, 401-885-4209. Three generations, they're available 24/7. A service and delivery, and they're going to serve you for a very long time. They have a great user-friendly website. You just log on at propaneplus.com, and then you type in your zip code, residential, commercial, Propane Plus, heating and cooling, always there for you. Give them a call today in Rhode Island, 401-885-4209, in Massachusetts, 508-252-3359, the Johnson family, three generations. Heating and cooling, you can always depend on Propane Plus. You're listening to the John DePietro Show. State Senator Jessica De La Cruz put out the following on the platform X, formerly known as Twitter. Today, my office filed an APRA request with the Rhode Island Department of Corrections. Find out how and why a Guatemalan national, an alleged child rapist, was released from ACI custody, disregarding a timely and lawful immigration detainer on the accused. She also put out, thankfully, Boston ICE apprehended the suspect, but how many of our most vulnerable were preyed on in the 10 months since the detainer was ignored? So access to public records, she has this up, State of Rhode Island, Office Legal Counsel. I request the following documents, anything related to that. Would like it within 10 days. Senate Minority Leader Jessica De La Cruz. Now, granted, she posted this, or was posted for her, regardless, but nonetheless, it became public 15 hours ago. Let's check in with some of the media coverage on it. Now, I'm unaware if they sent out any type of press release on it. I mean, I picked up on her social media account. But let's just log on Channel 10, 21st Anniversary Station Nightclub Fire. Rhode Island State Police made a history record drug and weapons bust. RIPT is going to hold meetings about route changes in Pawtucket. You had the guy that tried to robbery a bank in Swansea. That was interesting. They even had a U-Haul that then they burned, and they had a second vehicle, the switch car, that they made it into. But I don't see, and then you still have, I believe there's still Burrville police is still looking for the guy that took off from them. And by all accounts, I think his name's Tyler Perry, they still have not located him. That guy needs to get an attorney and go surrender immediately. For his own good, for my good, I hope he doesn't. And then I'm out there on the scene live stream when then they are able to catch up to him. But as I'm looking at this, I don't understand why no one's covering that. And it should be covered. It warrants coverage. I'll say that. I mean, I've been sometimes critical of the Republican lack of their response. I'd like to think that because I'm highlighting their reaction on things that maybe that's maybe putting a little pressure on them. We do know there have been some problems at the ACI. But folks, one of the situations that comes into play that I have talked about is, as Terry Gorman mentioned yesterday, it started under Governor Chafee. It continued under Raimondo, and it's gone to another level under Governor McKee, and that is that Rhode Island officials coming from the office of the governor encourage different agencies not to cooperate with immigration, with ICE, immigration, custom enforcement. And so you say, how can they do that? They do it. Cicilline had different ways. Instead of just emailing various things, they would fax it over to them, and they would fax certain information days later. Can you imagine, like, who in this day and age still uses fax machines? But the point is, I want to commend State Senator Jessica de la Cruz. She should be getting coverage on this. She is doing the right thing. The Republican Party needs to embrace this. The Republican Party stance in the past, for lack of a better phrase, but it's been a little mamby-pamby, and I don't understand. They're fearful. I actually do. I know the theory why they don't, and I'm telling you that it's, I believe it's a failed theory, and the theory is that they feel that they may lose the Hispanic vote if, in fact, they bring up the subject of illegal immigration. So they say this has been the theory of the past few years, several years now. I fundamentally disagree with it, and I think it's failed. But they feel, well, we're not going to get votes in places like Providence, Pawtucket, Central Falls if you bring up the immigration issue. Here's the spoiler alert. You're not going to get votes there anyway, but you will get more votes outside of those areas. And I think they'd actually be surprised how many votes in those areas they get. This is my point with the Rhode Island Republican Party, of which the past few years, by the way, that's the first notion I've seen anyone take. I would hope that House Minority Leader Mike Chippendale might do this thing, same thing, and follow up as far as the House, unless, I don't know if they hand off and now it's just like a Senate thing. And I can understand that. I'm not criticizing that. I'm saying I don't know if he feels, well, I don't need to do it because she did it. But folks, I want to be very clear. I'm not trying to blame everything, all the problems in the state. I'm not trying to blame everything on illegal immigration. I'm not saying that. That's not part of it. It doesn't come into a lot of the problems that exist. My issue is when there's various problems that arise, it shouldn't be left out of the conversation because there are things that impacts, such as the amount of time that the emergency rooms at the hospital, the wait. Rhode Island is ranked 49th in the country. Median wait time of 4 hours if you go to an emergency room. I'm not saying the absolute cause is illegal immigration. I'm saying that when you're discussing that problem, it should at least, it warrants a mention. The problems in the schools, the expense of the schools, the failure of many of the schools. I'm not blaming that all on illegal immigration. I'm arguing at least it warrants a mention when you're talking about it. And it stands to reason. When you take a number of students and they're called multi-language learners, which means they don't speak English, of course it's going to throw off your scores. It's also going to throw off learning in the classroom if you have a number of students in the classroom that don't speak English. So I'm not saying it's the cause, but I'm saying it's not even mentioned when they're talking about some of the problems. The expense of education, it absolutely should be mentioned. Now, Dan McGowan has a piece in Roadmap that the amount of Providence teachers that are retiring and they're leaving. Providence needs to close some of the schools. The teachers' union's refusing to. You don't need all that space. Providence has some schools that they're only at 30 to 40% of occupancy. You don't need that. And therefore, you don't need all the staff. It's too, that John Hopkins report that talked about one of the problems in the Providence schools, it's too adult-centric. Everything revolves around what's good for the adults. Nothing what's good for the children. You don't need all those schools. And on top of that, if people started to break it down and really started to realize how much it cost, and it's over, you know, it's over $100 million where we're educating children that are here illegally with their parents. But the teachers' union feel, hey, as long as we have jobs, let the taxpayers pick it up. Folks, you're listening to the John DePietro Show. For all your tree needs, call Yankee Tree today. The tree trimming experts in Lincoln. Call Yankee Tree at 401-439-6028. Whether it's tree removal, stump grinding, tree pruning, emergency service, bucket truck service, even bobcat service, you can depend on Yankee Tree. Remember, 24/7 emergency service is available. They are fully insured, licensed arborists. Yankee Tree. With all these storms, Don't let some dangerous branches fall onto your home or business. Call Yankee Tree today, 401-439-6028. The tree trimming experts in Lincoln, you can depend on Yankee Tree Service. Call them, 401-439-6028. Free quote, 24/7 emergency service, Yankee Tree Service. There when you need them, 401-439-6028. You're listening to the John DePietro Show. Folks, I always tout our website just because it has exclusive stories and video. It has links to on-the-scene live stream. Remember, there's no vowel I. It's DePietro.com, DePietro.com. You can also reach me that way if you'd like to get in touch with me. DePietro.com. Log on. And then links to Facebook and YouTube, everything we have, it's all waiting for you right there at the website. You're listening to the John DePietro Show, Brockton High School, Brockton, Massachusetts. How bad is it? The school committee, they want to call in the National Guard. They had a press briefing. School seems completely out of control. I did a TikTok. You can follow our account on TikTok, John DePietro Show. Or the John DePietro Show. Let's hear, this is the TikTok on Brockton High School.
Controversy, Brockton, Massachusetts. That's Brockton High School. How bad is the violence? Members of the school committee, they want the National Guard brought into Brockton to try to quell the violence. Teachers are afraid. Constant fights, open drug use. Some of the classrooms are used for sex. One teacher had his arm broken trying to break up a fight. Now, that's the Brockton police. How bad is the situation? Should they call in the National Guard? That's how bad the violence is. They also complain that people just go in and out of the school. There's no accountability. It certainly sounds like there's no learning going on either. But this is very dramatic that the school committee wants the governor, Governor Healey, governor of Massachusetts, there's Brockton, south of Boston, to call out the National Guard. Now, some parents complain that one of the problems is most of the teachers are white. 60% of the students are students of color, 20% Hispanic. Can you imagine how bad it is? The National Guard. Some parents don't even want police in the schools. In Brockton, Mass., they want the National Guard. What do you think? How would you feel if this was your school? What about if your children were attending the school? How severe would it be they have to call out the National Guard? Very serious situation at Brockton High School.
Now listen, a lot of schools may have some various disciplinary problems. This is another level when you have a situation where essentially the school committee, it's that bad. The teachers don't want to go in. The subs don't want to. Who wants to be there? It's not safe. And when you hear about some of the stories of what's going on, and that is, in fact, so the Brockton School Committee request the National Guard to try to quell the violence. But the more that you learn about it, that was a track coach. He was trying to break up a fight, and he had his he got his arm broken. So he just said, "I'm not gonna coach anymore. It's not worth it." But you, several of the teachers, they have 3,500 students, and they just talk about how they fear for their safety. They're shoved. Incredible disrespect. You know, these children don't have respect for the teachers because the parents don't have respect for the teachers. Now, some of the parents have said, well, you know, what do you see on the news is a bunch of white teachers crying, and then they show students that are black and brown. I mean, this is completely a total breakdown, pathetic, but it's getting more and more. There are more adults. They don't have respect for anyone. They don't have respect for, in fact, they don't have respect for, certainly not police, but they don't have respect for anyone, in essence, in authority. And then it kind of, you know, falls down. The guard members, they say, could act as substitute teachers and hall monitors. So now they didn't take any questions during this press conference. Now the mayor said, well, you know, that'd be up to Governor Healey, but the teachers are growing violence, misbehavior. Cliff Canavan's arm was broken. Tried to break up a fight. He grew up in Brockton. graduated from Brockton High School, been a teacher for more than two decades, hasn't taught anywhere else. He wonders how much more he can take. So it was December 2022. His arm was broken, tried to break up a fight after school. He said it's only a matter of time that same day before someone gets, you know, seriously hurt or, God forbid, killed. So the conditions seemingly get worse. What also happens is fistfights that draw crowds, onlookers, open drug use, verbal harassment of faculty, and the kids go running down the hallway, and they all stand around and film these fights. 60% of the students are Black, 20% are Hispanic. So some parents say, well, there's only one narrative being heard. So there's a lack of Black educators. And most of the teachers are white. Only 20% identify as African American. And so one of the parents said, well, you know, the teachers are doing their best, but all you hear about and you see, we see one narrative. You see white female teachers crying, Black and brown children fighting. Insanity. One school board, at a school board meeting, Sherry Mazzoli, administrative assistant, recounted being swept up by a crowd of students rushing down a hallway to watch and record a fight. She was pushed into a locker wall, was stepped on before her boss was able to pull her into a classroom. Unfortunately, staff now feels it's only a matter of time before someone dies in the hallway. And then you should see the guy's, you know, his arm was broken. And I think he was the female track coach. His arm was broken trying to break up a fight between two girls on the track team, or I'm not exactly sure who was involved with the altercation. Now, they also, so he was trying to stop a girl from attacking a member of his track team, which he was the coach. Two bones fractured in his forearm were shattered. He'll never regain full function of his arm. He decided to stop coaching. Now, they also cause problems at a lot of the surrounding businesses and communities, because then when school gets out, it is, you know, I know there's like a fast food place around there. I mean, it is just total mayhem and bedlam. But Brockton's not that far, you know, obviously, from where it is, southeastern Mass. You kind of have Taunton, Raynham. But what's intriguing is the element of, they're not talking about police. They're saying the National Guard. That is a complete breakdown. Now, what also should be pointed out that you don't hear anyone mention, but a big problem here that a number of people that, you know, as this story is being discussed, something that has to be part of the discussion, meaning you can't talk about this without also mentioning the fact that one of the problems that comes into play is, in fact, that it's the part that it changed in 2012. Hear me out. Where in 2012, expulsion is now the last possible means of kicking someone. And it takes a lot to get someone, or a student, I should say, to that level. So that can't be ignored. A huge part of the problem is that the kids can't get thrown out. They cannot get expelled from school. Another problem you've heard, I mean, I've spoken with some school resource officers. They say the worst behave are the 14 and 15-year-olds because they don't want to be there anyway. But it was the 2012 state law, disciplinary measures, makes exclusion from school a last resort. So they say the state has tied our hands in terms of disciplining students. If the kids know, you can't toss them out. It's going to be a rough time. Folks, you're listening to The John DePietro Show. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. Let's go to some Sunday sound. Face the Nation. The penalty for President Trump is astronomical, for crying out loud.
Trump is expected to appeal this ruling in the civil fraud case. What do you expect next on that front, and how is he going to pay?
Well, let's look at if he has a good appeal. And I think that many legal experts would agree that he does, and for two reasons. Number one, this is a statute out of the state of New York that was designed against fraud, but consumer protection fraud. That is, people who did not have sophistication in the marketplace, people who could be taken advantage of by a scam. Here, the president's lawyers have persisted in saying that there was no victim here, that the banks were repaid. They were never late with a payment. The banks were happy to do business with them. The banks could do due diligence, and the banks went away happy, and the banks were satisfied. So they have challenged this law from the very beginning, and an appellate court might want to take a look at it, because it is a way of putting an industry or a company out of business. Secondly, Donald Trump and his lawyers will look for a reduction in the amount of the penalty. The penalty is astronomical. When you look at how you go forward with an appeal, what you have to do is within 30 days either post the amount of the penalty up with interest, so it's 120% of the penalty, and we're really talking about something like $450 million to post. If you can't do that in cash, you're going to have to find assets that will be collateral for a surety company. This is a mighty task for financial advisors dealing with Donald Trump and the organization to get the money or the bond for that appeal. If the appeal can't be docketed because of the money's going to have to be paid.
Wow. I don't know. I mean, it's an astronomical amount of money. I just don't know where that's going to go. Lindsey Graham was on also Face the Nation. Let's hear him, Robert Costa, talking about the situation right now regarding the border.
Former President Trump to buy in on some components. That's a big guess. Have you spoken to former President Trump about your new support for this House bill? And are you confident you can convince him to not try to kill what Brian Fitzpatrick, the House member from Pennsylvania, is putting forward?
Good question. I have not spoken to President Trump about this package. I spoke to President Trump earlier in the week about making the aid to Ukraine a loan. This was his idea, not mine. We did lend lease to Britain. We're $34 trillion in debt. Ukraine has minerals. They have a lot of resources. Israel has a strong economy. They've been hurt badly by October the 7th. Taiwan is a pretty rich nation. Why don't we do this? Make a favorable loan to all three of these allies. Let them pay us back when they can, if they can, because we're $34 trillion in debt. That's the Trump idea. If you embrace that, I think you get a lot of votes in the House and the Senate. President Trump says, let's wait on the border. With all due respect, we cannot wait. It's a national security nightmare. A 2,000% increase in people on the terrorist watch list coming across the border in 2 years. 5 billion people could be killed by the amount of fentanyl coming across our southern border. The largest loss of life of young people in America is fentanyl poisoning coming across the southern border. So I don't want to wait. I want to act now on the border. I want to turn the aid package into a loan. That makes perfect sense to me. And I think the bipartisan problem solvers group has an idea that will sell. So sure. If you're Putin, I want you to know we're not going to pull the plug on Ukraine. We're going to come after you. We're going to make your country a state sponsor of terrorism. You're going to pay a heavy price for murdering this brave man.
You know, I've said this before, but I mean, they have to get rid of Putin. He has to be killed, as a matter of fact. This is insane that he continues to exist and be alive and breathe. So something needs to be undone. Folks, you're listening to The John DePietro Show. Check out DePietro.com, DePietro.com, all our links to social media, exclusive stories and videos waiting for you at DePietro.com.